Well, welcome everybody to Voices of Courage, where we explore the inner capacities that allow us to grow, innovate, and live more fully expressed lives. You know, today we're going to be talking about you really becoming a great part of the solution of the planet. Interesting. We're talking about creativity. And we're not just talking about talent or technique, but creativity as a way of being. The force that allows us to see beyond what already exists and step into what wants to be born next. Creativity, as you know, lives at the edge of the known and the unknown. And what it takes is courage to bring it forth. And courage is an energy, a power, a vibration that only shows up when you step into the unknown. You know, most people don't struggle with lack of ideas. They struggle with fear. Fear of being wrong, fear of judgment, fear of leaving the familiar behind. Yet all meaningful creation requires us to step into uncertainty. The unknown is not a void. It's really what holds all possibility for us. And when we open ourselves to creativity, we're not escaping reality. We're engaging in a more deeply experiment of our own lives. Creativity asks us to open ourselves, to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to allow ourselves to step into deeper trust. And at the end of this, when you walk into that, what happens is that the ideas start flowing in. The people start showing up that you need to take this innovation to the next level. And you start to understand who you are at a much greater level. That's what creativity does. And yet, what stops creativity? Well, I mentioned fear, but there's other few other things that stop it. It's the fear of maybe not looking good. It's the fear of not maybe even knowing oneself at a deep level. But that's okay, because when you start to create, you start to understand that brilliance, that power, that energy, that passion that lies within you. Whether you're a creative entrepreneur or whether you're an artist, you're creating paintings, or you're creating graphics, or you're building a building, you're creating theater, you're creating a documentary, whatever it may be for you, we all have to go through the same process. And as I mentioned, we have to step into the unknown. And again, it takes courage. I've got two very creative guests today on my show. We're going to explore, as I mentioned, being really a part of the solution of this world. Because when you step in, when you change yourself, you change the energy, the frequency, the vibration of everything around you, including people that come into that energy field. And so this is what we're talking about today. You stepping into a creative space that's greater than maybe you've ever stepped into before. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, we're going to have my very special guests. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. And I have my very special guests today, Eli and Joseph. Welcome to the show. It's great to have both of you.
Wonderful to be with you. Thank you for including us today.
And you're calling in from Mexico. What's the name of the city again?
It's called San Miguel de Allende. It's in central
Allende. Mexico. Okay. Well, what's the de Allende mean in...
It means that it used to be called San Miguel, and Allende was a revolutionary who took the city and liberated during the revolution.
Okay. Well, I know there's a lot of Americans down there, and they are all feeling liberated, too, I have a feeling. A lot of them are. Listen, for those of you that don't know Eli Hans and Joseph Bennett, they are multi-passionate entrepreneurs. They create motivational workshops and retreats. Eli is a TEDx speaker and creator of the award-winning Mostly Solo show, Out of the Blue, which earned international acclaim and multiple Broadway World LA nominations and the Hollywood Fringes and Encore Producers Award. Joseph is a, and by the way, wave your hand, Joseph. Okay, Joseph is a an assemblage artist, a certified hypnotherapist, creativity coach, and author of 7 books, including his most recently released, Jeremiah. Recently featured in The Power of Love, The Best Year of Your Life. I love that title, don't you? The Ultimate Healing and Global Oneness Summits and the Conference on World Affairs in Boulder, Colorado. These inspiring men both bring passion and deep purpose to their work, supporting clients to achieve their highest potential. Partners in life and business for 25 years. They live in San Miguel, as we mentioned, where they own San Miguel Retreats and live with their 3 furry-legged kids. Well, the name of the kids, by the way.
Maya Grace, Bailey Blue, and Luna de Queso.
Oh, Luna de Queso. Oh, very nice. Well, you know, I have a feeling, you know, we were in the green room together and we were both laughing, all of us laughing. And I just feel like we're going to bring in some laughter into this show. So if my audience is there, you're in that place. You need a little laughter. This is a great show for you. Hi, guys. One of the things I want to learn from you guys is how to embrace a multi-passionate life without feeling scattered or overwhelmed. I mean, you guys do all kinds of stuff. How do you do that?
Want to take that one? I would love to. There's a lot of talk about prioritizing what's important to us, and that's absolutely part of the formula, right? And there's a beautiful teaching called saying no, right? We get to say no to a lot of things that are not in alignment with what it is that we want to create. Before we can do that, we have to be really clear about what it is that we're trying to create, right? That clarity of saying yes to what's really meaningful to us and then saying no to the rest of it. That helps a lot with your overwhelm, for sure.
Well, for me, I can tell you this. I've learned in my own innovative process, when I'm in creativity, I need to turn the world off and get still. Stillness for me is the price of creativity. So I have to quiet my mind, get in a still place, maybe start writing about it or journaling about it, or even just thinking about what, like you said, getting some clarity before I bring that in. Do you guys go through anything similar like that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's always that birthing moment, you know, where you have that burst of inspiration first and you get the vision or the tap on the shoulder or the idea. And then there's got to be some time where you can let it simmer and just kind of let it emerge. And in some ways, let it tell you what it needs from us, you know, like what it's actually coming through us. It's not something we're necessarily doing. Yes, we're birthing it. It's using our hands. But from our point of view, our creative endeavors really are things that just come through us. And so it's about opening the channel, connecting to our intuition, listening to what that is. And then as anyone knows, because I know that everyone listening to this, even if you have a thought about, oh, maybe I'm not so creative, I know that everyone here does something that you absolutely love. We're trying to pass so quickly. And, you know, you just love being in the moment of doing that. And so that's what we're always looking for, that the music is going to show up and put us in that state of loving every single moment.
Well, you know, there's a lot, there's people listening to this right now, and they're thinking, well, you know, yeah, I have things I love, but you know, what stops a lot of them is they'll say, well, I'd love to do it, but I'm not going to make any money. It's not going to pay the bills. And so, you know, their fears stop them. Hey, you know what, how do you guys, what do you recommend for people that are like that?
Can I take that?
Sure.
I have just one thing to share from the last question. You already mentioned it. And that is the writing or the journaling. This is one of the most powerful tools for people who are trying to create a more courageous life. And for people who are listening, not watching, I'm holding up a pen and taking pen to paper each morning, even if it's only just 7 to 10 minutes to get your thoughts and do that brain dump and tap into the muse. It's so powerful. And as I learned dozens of years ago, you do not need an IT person for pen and paper. So there's no block. You could just simply pick it up. You don't have to worry about internet or apps or downloading anything. So I wanted to mention that. And yeah, there's this energy of money, making a living, paying the bills that has stopped thousands, hundreds of thousands of us from pursuing what it is that we want to do. And how I want to answer that is energy. The energy of really tapping into what's important to us, what our heart is calling for. We have no idea where that is going to lead. So if we see everything, and I get it, if we see things from how much money am I going to make this from this, right? If we have that filter on, that's not how the universe operates.
And yet from our experience, what I want to say is that yes, there are many ways that you can learn to monetize your creativity, but we're not saying quit your job and just go out and do the thing. What's most important, I think, in what we're saying is when we connect to that part of us that wants to be expressed and that's coming from somewhere other than us and it's expressing through us, that is life force moving through our veins. And you know, that excitement or the thrill of doing something new, that permeates the rest of our lives. And you will know when the time is right to move a little bit deeper into the experience and to learn how to monetize your creativity. And even if you're at a job that maybe you don't fully love, if you still are able to bring some creativity into that, or maybe something that you do at home that people love, some of their hobbies. It's so important to just be doing something that you love, because that energy will begin to shift everything else.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think of a story of a fellow that came to me who followed his passion. He was an artist. And, you know, he was a struggling artist, right? And he came to me and he's ready to quit his art. He was ready to stop painting. He was a painter. And he said, yeah, I just can't make any money out of this. I'm going to go back and get my 9-to-5 job. And I said, well, why don't we talk about it? Let's open up ideas about how this could be. I said, and finally, he comes. He says, you know, what I really need is an agent. And nobody knows me. It's a chicken and egg thing. You know, if you don't know me, you can't get an agent. If you haven't sold a big paintings, you can't. I said, that's all made up. I said, go out. What we're going to do is we're going to get really clear with the values you want in that agent, the experience you want in the agent, the skill sets. And then we're going to go out and you're going to go and you're going to knock on some doors and make some calls. A week later, he comes back with an agent. Today, he sells his paintings for over $100,000 a piece. So, you know, it is that place where we follow our dream. But you know, I love what you said, you know, we... even at wherever you start, where you are, you start letting that creative force flow through you. And that's where we all start, right? You can't do it unless you take a step onto the unknown, is what I get.
And can I add to that, Ken?
Wait, please. Yeah.
So that painter, man, I'm going to call him John because I don't know who you're referring to. What he did when he reached out to you is he was opening up to the possibility of having a team, of having collaboration, right? Team is an acronym. Together, everyone achieves miracles. So sometimes, to go back to how am I going to make money at this, we as creatives, we have this belief sometimes that we have to do everything on our own and every dime that comes our way has to be of our own making. And I know I can speak for Eli, we are such proponents of creating a team around you that can help you to be more successful. And there's a brilliant teaching that says success leaves clues, right? Whatever it is that you want to create, somebody has already probably done that and created a podcast about it, written a book about it, written a blog about it. They are doing it from TEDx stages.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, speaking of teams, I remember my wife and I, we first got together and, we're a team, man. We're going to do our business together. We got a home together. We put our office in the same space. And about 3 weeks later, we about killed each other. And we decided we're doing something wrong here. So first thing we did is we separated our space. But we've been married now for 26 years, right? And we work together very well. I know you guys have a story around that. I got to take a quick break, but I want to hear how you guys work together with the team that you are without, tearing things apart. There's an art to this. All right, we'll be right back.
Do you suffer in pain? Are you stiff, tense, or less active than before? Introducing the EasyWell Remedy Massage System that combines the incredible effects of vibrational therapy, targeted deep tissue shiatsu massage, plus soothing infrared heat. A triple fusion of therapeutic experiences. Full body vibrational therapy increases blood circulation and reduces inflammation. Look at these beads moving from the powerful vibrational motors.
It's like 1,000 little fingers just vibrating my body from head to toe.
Infrared heat penetrates deep to reduce pain, soothe, and relax.
Remedy gets in there and helps deal with the source of the pain, so you feel much better.
The Ultra Shiatsu Pillow with 6 infrared heated nodes mimics a professional massage. Plus, it's detachable for deep relief anywhere you need it.
It's just something that you're gonna have to feel for yourself.
Experience the true remedy for your pain and stiffness. Call now.
You've heard me say it before. What you consume affects how you think. Kendi Foster here. If you want to operate at your highest level, to truly step into your power, you've got to fuel your mind and body with clean, potent foods that align with nature. That's why I want to introduce you to something I've been using, Empower Plus. This is not just another supplement. It's a farm-to-body superfood combining broccoli microgreens, sprouts, and lion's mane mushrooms, designed to support brain clarity, focus, and overall vitality. But here's what really sets it apart. They harvest and deliver this product in the same day, preserving the life force energy and potency. It's about conscious fuel for a conscious life. And now, when you go to voicesofcourage.us/Ken20, you'll receive 20% off your order. I truly hope you'll experience Empower Plus, because what you put into your body shapes what you create in your life. Remember, voicesofcourage.us/Ken20 to get your 20% off your order.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'll be right back with my two guests in just a second. I want to mention to you that we have a YouTube channel. If you're already on YouTube, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. If you're not on YouTube, well, when it's safe, just go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, so that you get all of our shows and you can share them with people that you care about. We hope you'll do that. All right. All right, back to Joseph and Eli. Hey, guys. Okay. Hey. I know you guys got a story about, you know, how you met and, you know, how you live and work together, you know, over all your projects. I'd love to hear that.
Okay. Well, we'll tell you how we met, because soon after we met, we started working together and we had some issues similar to yours. So we want to tell you about how we resolved that. So the way we met was pretty miraculous. And you want to tell?
Sure. It was San Diego, where I know you are from. And we were in Balboa Park, and it was during Gay Pride. And that year, for the very first time that we were aware of, they were having a mass commitment ceremony. So couples knew about this ceremony. They came there with the intention of marrying each other. There was a minister with the ceremony. The news was there following it. And I went just to witness.
And I did the same thing. I wanted to just see what it was about. And the minute I got there, the ceremony was starting. And so there was only one tree that had shade. I went to stand under that tree. And the minister said to the couples who were there, please face your partner and repeat these vows after me. And all of a sudden, this guy that happened to be standing right next to me tapped me on the shoulder and said,
do you want to do it? I'm very, very eloquent speaker. I said, do you want to do it?
And he said, and I said, yes, which for me was very rare, because in those days I did nothing without reading Consumer Reports. You know, I mean, so there we are in the middle of our wedding and we're repeating the vows and we can't remember what they all were except for the last one. And this is really key. He said, repeat after me. I promise to support you to your highest potential. Oh. And Joseph looked at me and said, make sure you say that out loud and mean it. And so we turned to each other and said that. And at that moment, I just knew, I felt it in every ounce of my being that this was it. So then at the end, he said, you're now pronounced your committed life partners. You may kiss each other. We gave each other a little peck. And I said, now that we're married, what's your name? And that was 25 years ago. Wow. In July, we'll be 26. And it's been the most empowering, kind, wonderful relationship, because we really do take that vow seriously. We support each other to our highest potential.
Wow. I love that is there's a you know, my wife and I had something similar. I asked her to, it took me 30 days to ask her, but you know, but there was this divine orchestration that I couldn't have put together, and you guys couldn't have put together. If you'd planned it all out, it wouldn't have been as amazing or as magical, or you probably picked the wrong person. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, there's a part of the story that we don't often talk about, but I think your audience would really be able to relate to this. And the part is that morning, even though I knew about this event, I changed my mind because I had a lot of laundry to do. And I was going to stay home doing the laundry and doing the chores. And I heard a voice that was very strong that came inside me and said, go, go, you got to go now, now, now. And I was like, no, I don't want to go. I have laundry to do. No, get on your bike and go now. And it was like such a strong impulse. I was like, all right, I'll go. So I put on my tennis shoes and riding my bike to the park. And when I get there, I'm like, what's the big deal? Everything looks completely normal, right? Then I see the tree and I go stand next to the guy. And 30 seconds later, he taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, do you want to do this? And my life, our lives, changed completely at that moment. And the lesson there that I really want to get across to the audience is, when we have a relationship with our intuition and we've learned to trust the voice and we don't second guess it, we are led to miracles all the time.
Yeah, 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 100%. You know, when I knew my wife for several years before this, and I was in a relationship, and then I'd broken off that relationship, and I prayed about it. I said, God, what do I need to do? And God whispered very loudly, you need to be full out in the next relationship, right? And you know, 2 weeks later, I took her to a party, and when I picked her up as a friend, I opened the door and everything changed. I mean, it was that instant. Everything changed.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I had to follow through with what I'd heard, that voice, not one foot in and one foot out, 100% commitment. Yes. Well, yeah, go for it. And that's, of course, how we've, you know, I've lived my life with her. 100% loyalty, 100% commitment, 100% all the way in, not one foot in and out. That's what I did for 10 years. I somebody show up, I go, oh, that's okay. But isn't that how an entrepreneur needs to go? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah. You do what you say you're going to do. You commit. You just have to commit to your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, we found out that afternoon when we met that we had both applied for the same job. And then soon after, like a month or so after we were together, because, I mean, from that moment on, we've been together like 24/7. We started a business together and we've been working together like 24/7 for like almost this 25 years. And when you mentioned that you and your wife killed each other, we kind of killed each other.
Almost killed each other. Although we haven't seen her yet. So I don't know. Maybe where is she? Yeah, we're doing a murder mystery.
We're good. We're good. We figured it out.
Well, we're in the murder mystery mode because we're doing a murder mystery in the theater next week. So we're thinking about suspects and stuff. Let it.
Well, we can mention that because you mentioned that to me in the green room. You're doing the play, right?
But before I do that, I just want to fill this little section. So we almost, we argued a lot at the beginning because we didn't know what each other's strengths were, and we were both trying to do everything together. So we finally figured out that we needed to identify what our strengths were and do those parts. And the parts in the middle that neither one of us liked, we hired an assistant to do those things. So Joseph, at the time we were doing interior design, and so I'm more of like the whole concept guy. I was coming up with the whole design. But the day of installation, Joseph is an awesome, awesome, you know, assemblage artist. He sees things differently. So his strength is to put it all together. And also in dealing with clients, you know, he knows how to deal with clients. I'm like, okay, let's get the job. Let's move forward. So we found what our strengths are, and then we stopped stepping on each other's toes.
That's funny. You're a lot like my wife. She's the deal with the client. She don't want to deal with that. I'm really good at that. But yeah. She's got the flip side. She's also the implementer. I'm the visionary.
Right.
You know, so interesting.
Well, you need that. So the metaphor I like to use, and it sounds like you have this in your relationship, is it's like a kite, right? So a kite, in order to fly, needs to stay grounded. And so the person doing the grounding can look up and enjoy the flight of the kite. But if you let go, the kite falls apart.
That's it.
So that's a really great balance. And we play that role with each other. Sometimes one of us is the one grounding and the other one is flying.
Well, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, some people are watching this right now and they're going, gosh, you guys sound like, you know, we can create anything, our dreams, we can go for it. I know what my strength is. I know what I love to do. And yet I'm stuck in this corporate world. How do I make that break? How do I take that leap of faith to get into this? And I'd love to give my audience some practical steps about that. Also, when we get back, we got to talk about the new book that's out. Is this putting it on the screen? So we got a lot to talk about. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real. But that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with Eli and Joseph, and our focus is on creativity. And speaking of creativity, I want to finish this loop before we get into some of the topics I suggest. You got a play in San Miguel right now. It's going to be coming out, I think you said, this weekend, and playing for a month or so down there.
The 20th of February through the middle of February.
Okay. And can you just touch base on that a little bit? Tell us a little bit about what it is.
No, we really believe that theater has the power to uplift and inspire audiences. So we've done a lot of different kind of theater. We started with Out of the Blue, as you mentioned, which was kind of an autobiographical, mostly one-man show about my cancer healing journey. And it's been very just life-changing in every possible way that you can think of. It opened up a lot of doors. And it took a lot of courage to make that decision. And I mention that now because we're going to be talking about courage to step into a whole new arena that you don't know anything about. So that opened up a whole new world for us in using our skills in coaching and blending them with theater. We were doing some programs that help people deliver from the stage some transformative moments of their life. But this play, it's a complete farce. It's just absolutely hilarious. And it's called Love, Lies, and Leftovers. You can see part of our cast there. This town is perfect for like a mystery dinner theater, and it had never been done. So after 12 years of wondering why, I decided this time we need laughs. You know, the world is heavy. There's a lot of stuff going on. We need to just forget about it for 3 hours. Go someplace, have a blast, have fun. So wrote the show in the summer, cast it in the fall. We've been doing rehearsals and it opens in like 10 days. So it's terrifying. Yes, it's terrifying. When we step into our creativity, it can be so thrilling, and it is, but it's also just terrifying. But you move through the fear, you know, and you do what you need to do.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening.
You move through the fear, and then you get the, you know, the hard work pays off, you know, and most of the time, sometimes it doesn't, but you know, most of the time it pays off. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, that's part of what we do. We walk into that unknown, and, you know, that's part of what, you know, I mentioned that, you know, some audience here are wondering, how do I go into my unknown? 'Cause I got to pay bills. And, you know, where's the stepping off point? I mean, you touched on that a little earlier, but, you know, any other advice on that with stepping off point for creatives?
Absolutely. I love talking about this subject. So for a number of years, maybe three and a half years, I co-hosted a podcast called Are You Waiting for Permission with my dear friend Meredith Grundy. And I know that a lot of us, sometimes even myself, I am sitting around waiting for permission from some unknown entity to say, yes, you can do this, or yes, you can take this leap, or yes, you can be courageous. And what stops us most of the time is WWTT, which is, what will they think? So I know you talked about paying the bills, Ken, but even underneath of that, or surrounding that, or above that, is this idea of what will they think, right? And I ask the question of what will you think when you reach your deathbed? Because I'm sorry to be the one to bear the bad news to you, but you will have a deathbed at some point. What will you think when you're lying there and think, I didn't take that risk. I didn't do that thing. I didn't pursue that dream. I let this thing called money stop me. So there's this beautiful teaching about the Pomodoro technique, and it is a research around 25 minutes of focused energy, focused time, and pursuing your dream without any distractions. It's a huge muscle to build. And I get really curious for your audience, if they took 25 minutes a day to pursue that dream, to pursue that messiness, to pursue that vision, even when they're still working this job over here, it's 25 minutes. And personally, I have written 7 books, 25 minutes a day. I just spend 25 minutes of time doing that. And that amount of focus is so powerful. powerful and life-changing. And my last bit about this is sometimes we talk ourselves out of it. I don't have tons of minutes. And what I invite in is, can you help yourself change that purpose? Help myself out of doing something versus help myself into it.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about meditation today. And I'm a long-term meditator. I believe in stillness. And I realized that, you know, that 25-minute piece, it's most people do not have the ability to quiet their minds down in 10 or 15 minutes. It takes 20, 25 minutes to just get into that piece, right? And isn't that interesting? Because I'm a writer too. So, you know, when I get into it, it may be for right, and I've done it for a while, right? So it may take me, Amy, that 10 minutes to start getting in it, but then it flows. But the commitment is everything. That's what you're talking about. It's a commitment to doing that. So thank you for that. That's really powerful. And thank you for what will they think. I've just been given some A-listers to contact to take my show to the next level. And that's my question. What will they think when I contact them, right? And, you know, so we all go through this. This is, you know, whatever level you're at.
Can I add a piece?
Please.
Yes. That thought of, oh, what will they think? And any monkey chatter that's going in your head, it's not the truth. It's just the part of your brain that's trying to protect you. So the way that I tend to get through that is, what is the highest calling on this planet for me? Why am I here? And if my action is aligned with that, nothing can stop that. So when we get clear, and we talked about clarity before, and if you don't know what that calling is, it's perfectly fine. But there are clues about things that you love. And when you get excited about thinking about doing something, when we start stepping into who we actually came here to be, I know this is going to sound a little woo-woo, but I'm going to tell you the truth because we've experienced it. The world starts opening up in that direction. If this is what you're meant to be doing, and if it's helping the world become a better place in some way, then that means you're in alignment and the things start happening. You meet the people, the doors will open, and you will know that will bring you so much joy and so much courage to take the leap and not know what's going to happen. And then you start reaping the rewards, because in our experience, when we do that, there are rewards.
And I want to,
you know, I've become an overnight success after 500 shows.
Exactly.
There's that piece.
And for the listeners who are here and thinking, oh, well, how is me doing a piece of ceramics or taking a tap class, how is that adding to the world, right? It does, because there's this little thing called personal happiness, that the vibration and the energy when we are happy and when we are living our best life, that absolutely affects what's happening in the world. So, you know, sometimes we talk ourselves out of things, right? Yeah. I'm not going to take that dad's class because I need to go out and heal the world in other ways of what's happening politically or socially. And I want to give you permission to take that class because your own personal happiness is absolutely part of the solution.
And not only that, but the joy of doing something we love is contagious and it has ripple effects. So it affects our family, our circle of friends, our immediate community. And that is becoming part of the solution by you doing something that brings you joy, that fills you, and where there's fulfillment to be found, that is being part of the solution. And you will know when the time is right to let go of the big job and take that leap, you know?
Yeah. Very great advice. I really love this. And, speaking of which, you know, I love 25 minutes at a time. Jeremiah, A Love Story by Joseph Bennett. I want to put that on the screen because this is an important part of what we're talking about here. Tell me about it. Tell me about a love story that, you know, came through you that is now out there for people to really experience deeper love.
Oh, I could cry just looking at that image, Ken.
I saw that. I saw that when you saw it, when I put it on there. Yeah.
Oh, my body's just tingling. For a long time, I didn't want to write this story because I thought that writing a novel was going to be too arduous. And I told myself the story, oh, I need to do these other projects instead, right? Talking about time and excuses and talking myself out of things. And through a number of different processes and reading other authors' works, I realized that this story was gifted to me. And if I didn't write it, somebody else would. And the story, very succinctly, is that a white male abolitionist happens upon a slave auction in the 1800s in Savannah, Georgia, and by the grace of God, raises his hand to buy another man, a black man, not to own him, but to free him, and they fall in love. So it is an interracial love story between two men during the pre-Civil War. And it is told from the perspective of 8 different characters. And a number of people have told me how beautiful the writing is. And I just kind of shake my head no, because this story was given to me so much so that all I had to do was show up to the keyboard and each character would talk to me and tell me what they wanted to say. So I was just the mute. I was the channel. I was just the open vessel of listening to them. And others have given me feedback that the story is kind of painful to read, especially the first half of it. And I'm like, I get it. But I did not want to edit their words. They told me how horrific it was to be a slave. Yeah. And I did not want to sugarcoat that.
Yeah. I'm so glad you wrote this book. You know, they're funny. My last guest had also talked about the American, black challenges, and you know, it's coming to light. You know, there's so much taboo, of course, back in those days. I mean. Just what you shared, you know, one black man's going to free a slave. I mean, that's illegal back then, I think, you know, maybe not, I don't know, but you know, and then they're going to fall in love. That was taboo. You know, so many taboos that have been broken, and now we have freedom of thought, at least some of us do. And, you know, there's a theory that I've put together, and it's 1 + infinity = love. One is the oneness of all of us. We're all connected. Infinity, it's an eternal dance that we do. And when we connect with the oneness of all of us and understand we're here in infinity, loving one another, it is love. It turns into love. And that's what this is. This is a love story. I love this. What did you, when you walked away, what would you say my readers will walk away with when they read this? What's your hope, or what's your co-author's hope? I should say that.
there's 2 pieces. One is there's a central theme of literacy going through the book, especially the laws against being able to read and write and be literate. So I have a deep appreciation for any of us who are able to read or are able to share our message, to share our stories. It's a huge privilege. And then the second thing that I would love for people to walk away with is a sense of colorblindness.
Yeah. Yeah. Joseph, where can people get this book?
Right now it is at josephbennett.org/books. And there is a link there for a YouTube that I just released last week. I read the entire book out loud and performed it for some of my colleagues who have macular degeneration and other eyesight problems. So I read the whole book on YouTube. That link is on my website, and it's also on Amazon.
And Joseph Bennett, BENNETT.org, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that his performance of this book is unreal. If you have a chance to watch it, and it's free right now. And the way he performs each character and brings them to life, it's mesmerizing.
I got to see it. Tell me how I find it on YouTube again. Where is that?
At Joseph Bennett Art. I believe that's who it is.
Okay. At Joseph Bennett Arts, or just can we look up YouTube at Joseph Bennett, maybe, or
At Art by Joseph Bennett.
Art by Joseph Bennett.
Art by Joseph Bennett. Okay. Art by Joseph Bennett, BENNETT.
Oh, thanks, Ken. That's
beautiful. Yeah, I think you will enjoy it. And also that recording will soon become an audiobook, so people can just take it with them and listen to it. But I want to say something about this process for Joseph. We kind of talked about this before.
You know, we've got about a minute, so go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it quick. So he talked about the Pomodoro. I witnessed Joseph writing this novel. He would show up to the computer for 25 minutes, and a character literally would come through and just speak. And then he would read me what it was. And every single time I would end up in tears. It was so human and so moving. And so there really is a lot about just 25 minutes at a time. You wrote this novel and 6 other books. So we encourage you to just show up to the page if you're a writer.
Joseph, okay, give me that. Give me the website one more time.
JosephBennett.org.
Okay, and then on YouTube?
And on YouTube, I just wrote this.
Art by Joseph Bennett. I'm sorry.
Art by. Okay, I'm writing it down myself because I'm going to get that. I can hardly wait to watch that.
Great.
That's awesome. Gentlemen, I am out of time. What a beautiful show. I know, just went like that.
We talked for hours.
I know. We could talk more. Well, you guys have to come back. We'll have to do this again. This is too much fun. Yeah. So I just want to thank you for your time and your energy. I heard you guys. You said no. You say no a lot. So I'm very privileged that you said yes to this show and appreciate your
voice. I'd like to end, if it's okay, if anybody would like to find us together. It's EliandJoseph.com.
EliandJoseph.com. That's simple.
Yeah. They can find out all the crazy things that we're doing. And if they need support, we're happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys. And all of you, I want to thank you for watching the show. And please pass it on to people that you care about and love. And if you watch this show for any length of time, you will be able to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, do the impossible, and live a very fulfilling life. Take care.